everyone, and welcome to Between the Sheets Patreon special edition number 55. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host, David Bixensman. And Bix, we're going to continue here in our trek of the end of WCW and through the sale of Fusient Media, to Fusient Media Ventures.
Uh-huh.
So, not a long one, I say here.
Yes. 40 pages of notes covering 4 weeks.
And what was the page count on the other one?
It was mid-30s, I think. Mid to high-30s.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot here. And this one's going to be a bit different, too, because as I was putting the notes together, I'm looking at, you know, the issue covering the final Nitro, well, the issues of both the Torch and the Observer covering the final Nitro, and I realized, oh, wait a second. The way the schedule was, they had not covered the WWF sale yet, or the sale of WCW to WWF yet, because of what day of the week it happened. So, to kind of have more of a chronological story than we would if we were just using the newsletters and the trades, I dug deep to get as much as I could from WrestlingObserver.com towards the end. From that, last week of WCW next to last week that we're covering here. Because otherwise, it's kind of jumbled together in a way that, for the type of show we're trying to do here, doesn't necessarily fit as well. But obviously, all the necessary stuff from the newsletters is also in here, but it's complemented by the website stuff because we are better off with it here. Unfortunately, I had difficulty getting anything from the Torch site from then, but is what it is. Wayback Machine's kind of a crapshoot when you're going back 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that back then that you might need to save some information, you know, thinking that not what the future's going to hold, you know.
Yes.
Some of these other websites, you know, that don't work anymore, that don't have archives or whatever, and
I mean, the big one that really doesn't work at all, that barely works on Wayback, is One Wrestling.
Well, PWTBS.
Browsing Between the Sheets, too, which sucks because they were around for so long and in the same format, basically, the whole time. But as far as, like, primary reporting wrestling sites, like, One Wrestling is the one that just, because of their design and stuff, just does not really exist in a navigable way on the Wayback Machine. Now, there probably is more stuff there than we realize, just we don't have a way to find it because the navigation pages are all messed up. Like, there was something that was linked, like, in an Observer site story. I think this is on the ECW notes that are for the shows that are coming up, but that still, I was able to put that into Wayback Machine and it worked, but I would not have found that if I was just going through the onewrestling.com archive navigation pages. So, there's a lot there. And also, we should note, too, because we didn't really talk about it last time, pretty much all of the Wrestling Observer Lives from this period are available online.
Yeah.
If people want to check them out and hear the Bischoff interviews, they're there. And also, if people want to hear the final WCW Live, that's up on the podcast that Guy Evans did to promote his book.
Yep.
So, yes, if you want additional audio to complement this with, it's out there.
Yeah.
For free.
All right. So let's start this show. Dave Meltzer on WrestlingObserver.com on March 16th at 12:59 a.m. It's Eastern time.
It is Eastern. Well, I thought I added Eastern to all these, but yes. So it's only about 10 o'clock his time.
Qualifying all this with the idea that possibly there's a giant work going on to get wrong information out, but there's no purpose to that, nor do I believe it's the case. It appears at least temporarily that Dave's world change of wrestling may be coming to a close. The Fusion deal looks to have fallen through. Exactly the hows and whys of this aren't clear. Those close to the deal are not publicly saying that, but are clearly in a bad mood about it not happening. The Fusion offer in the last few days when the feeling was the deal would be closed was far less than the original offer made a few months ago. The belief seems to be that the company will be shut down on the 26th. The company will likely not fold immediately. As there would be attempts to sell after a shutdown, they would be considered temporary. Although the only thing actually worth anything would be the TBS time slots, where Vince McMahon would fit in, and where this would make sense is if it is guaranteed to keep time slots, of a man purchase would constitute closing greatly the barriers of anyone entering the business because it would be a business based on exposure. As the ECW failure shows, there are not a long line of potential networks looking to get into wrestling. And wrestling seems to be most everyone's a business that hit its peak some time back and is cycling downward. The business can't exist in today's environment without television, and nobody's been able to buy television in recent years and make it pay off. The changing hierarchy at CBS, with all Ted's current Turner screw out of power with the AOL merger, means people in decision-making powers have no loyalty to wrestling nor first-hand knowledge that things were just as bad in many ways 7 years ago, and the company within a few years was hugely successful, nor that the up-and-down cycles have been going on with the wrestling product on the station since the beginning of time on cable. And that's another thing, too. You're getting people that's getting involved in this that have no clue how wrestling works as a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just know what wrestling is from watching television and having their preconceived notions about what wrestling is.
You know? Something that Guy Evans has mentioned in interviews and stuff, but that I don't think is in the book per se. He's seen, like, ledgers from WCW that don't include things as far as expenses and stuff that you would expect to be part of a wrestling promotion.
Yeah.
So, if these people are looking at the books, they have no clue what's going on.
They don't know that the cycles in the business. That's another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
That wrestling does go up and down. You know?
Yes. Like, has been said many times, most notably by Meltzer. I mean, granted, things have gotten pretty bleak, but, like, at least through Russo, or before Russo came in, WCW was very salvageable. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, things have gotten worse, but if there was still a WCW, it could have been brought back around. They still have plenty of TV viewers.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely could have been.
But there's more. So now we go about how many hours later? A little more than half a day later.
Official word on WCW from Brad Siegel and other wrestling notes by Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com, March 16th at 3:56 p.m. WCW gave official word earlier today in a memo by Brad Siegel that the company would be shutting down after the Nitro and Thunder tapings a week from Monday. The complete memo and a related story are already up on the website. If any major details break on this, we put them up here. This is very much a crossroads for the industry, and it's changed greatly in the past year, and the current economic climate is likely to change greatly from here. There are two companies, one of which is believed to be the WWF, that have great interest in the company. It will not be folded. The decision was made not to keep it alive because the cost of doing television, keeping it alive, are greater than the cost of not operating at all, but continuing to pay the salaries. Brad Siegel's memo from earlier that day. In early January, we told you about an agreement that we had reached with WCW and its related assets. At that time, we said we would apprise you of any changes the way WCW operates. Effective Tuesday, March 27th, WCW programming will begin a period of hiatus. During this hiatus, WCW will review its programming plans and determine the course of future WCW brand entertainment events. On Wednesday, March 28th, please plan to attend an all-staff meeting at 10 a.m. at the power plant, at which we will share with you further information regarding WCW's plans. In the meantime, I hope that you will maintain a level of professionalism that distinguishes our organization, particularly as we prepare for the upcoming Panama City, Florida event. Thank you.
Should we keep going, or should we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From more on WCW still going through and future plus other stuff. Dave Meltzer, March 16th, 7:53 p.m. According to MultiChannelNews.com, the deal breaker was new head of program for AOL Time Warner, Jimmy Kilner, went and guaranteed 2 primetime slots per week to a sole WCW. The television time slots were the most valuable asset to the company that they had. As best as Dave could tell, most of the stories going around are accurate. Fusion deals actually to buy the company dead at this point. Fusion and Eric Bischoff are still pursuing a deal with Fox, which has been the case all along as promotion versus promotion angle, was always a hoped-for possibility with Fox versus TBS and TNT wrestlers. Today, WCW may still be sold to someone, but the story here is not the hiatus or even the falling apart of the Fusion deal. The story is that Kellner made the decision to pull wrestling from the stations as opposed to just a hiatus that was always planned. What Dave's expecting is all the wrestlers with 9-day cycles will be cycled out unless a new purchase agreement can be made. The big-name wrestlers will likely be maintained in a contract until all reasonable suitors to possibly sell the company will be exhausted. If it goes from there, what was likely to happen would be that AOL and Time Warner would look to buy the wrestlers out of their existing contracts for a percentage of the promised income and a lump sum, while the wrestlers continue to get paid through the duration of their contracts. WWF would be able to pick and choose whenever they wanted to add at the point all attempts at selling fall through. Or WWF could buy it because of the holdup, putting the wrestling on the network is no longer part of the equation. And the key to WWF's purchase is that they lock up all the meaningful talent, making it possible for anyone to use any wrestlers that could be used as a nucleus for a group that at some point down years down the line could be opposition. The ramification to everyone in the industry cannot be overstated. Broadcast partners of WCW were given no indication that any of this was happening, nor even told that there was plans for a shutdown, which means they wouldn't be provided with two weekly shows in overseas markets.
Quite the 19 hours there.
It ain't over yet.
Yeah, well, no, the next one is from the following day, but by the way, I did try to find the specific multi-channel news article. It looks like it was a website-only article that's not there anymore, at least that I could find. Okay. How do you read what Dave wrote here about guaranteeing the time slots? Like, with the lens of the Brian Badal thing, I think it's clear that's what he's talking about.
Exactly is what he's talking
about. But, no, but listen.
Yeah.
Through the eyes of someone who doesn't know that in 2001, it reads a little differently.
Of course. This is why Jamie Kellner is getting, you know, been perceived as the ultimate villain for all these years, is that people didn't know what Fusion was asking of him.
Yes.
And understand why he made the decision to not give them slots. He's totally in the right here.
Yes, but as written by Dave here, we don't know exactly how the multi-channel news article framed it, but as written by Dave here, aggregating that article, it reads like the deal fell apart because Fusion was worried that AOL Time Warner was trying to take them for a ride.
Well, it's not just that. It just makes us... No, what this reads is that Jamie Kellner doesn't want to have wrestling on his network.
Well, that too.
That's the whole thing. When, in all actuality, he doesn't want to give up his slots to Fusion Meat Adventures for them to own. And
even
then,
if there's WCW.
Even if there's no WCW. So this totally changes the game. Totally changes everything.
This is something that should have been talked about more coming out of the release of Guy's book, too.
Jamie Kellner has been, you know, dragged for a long time. And now we come to understand that it was totally in the wrong.
Yes. Now, is there probably more to it because of the Jim Barnett comment? Yes. I'm sure there's more to it. But I can see that maybe he was perfectly fine with keeping wrestling on there until he became aware of this. And then at that point, he's like, well, wait a second. What are we doing? This company has a rep for flipping companies. They're saying they want to be the ones controlling the time slot, even if there's no WCW. That means we're not getting a guarantee of the WCW that was still a fairly solid ratings draw. So why are we bothering with having any of this and negotiating with these people?
They want to own slots on what, TNT or TBS. They want to own the slots. That's the thing. They want to own these slots. You ask any network executive, I don't care who it is, they want to own their slots. We provide the programming. We provide the slots for you. Not you own the slots on our network and we don't have control of it. They want control of all of their what's airing on their network. And I don't blame them. It's their network. You know? This isn't paid programming. You know, this isn't 4 o'clock in the morning and you have, you know, ShamWow on there. You know, that's totally different. They're actually paying to be on. They're paying. You know, this isn't paid programming. This is a company owning a TV slot. Pay programming, we just put you on where we feel like it. This is somebody wanting to own the slot for themselves. And then the reason why you sold the slots to them, when they sold the company, that's gone. They could put anything they want in those slots. What if it gets to the point where they put some on there and the Turner executives was like, wait a minute, we don't approve of this. What can they do? They don't own the slots. I mean, that's totally the most asinine thing I've ever heard regarding television. It's insane. How did they think they were going to get away with that? And who did they think they were dealing with? And this is Brian Bedall.
Okay. Do you think that – I'm forgetting the name all of a sudden. Who was negotiating the deal before he left?
Steve Heyer.
Thank you. Do you think Steve Heyer was actually entertaining this? Or do you think he was stalling things out under Brad Siegel or whoever's orders?
Well, let me read something. I've been waiting for this moment.
Okay.
I've had this sitting here, and this is an article I found.
To hear this entire show, support Between the Sheets on Patreon for just $5 per month. Go to patreon.com/betweentheSheets.